Today's daf is Chulin Daf Zayin, and we are 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Vav Amid Beis Heyed Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Zeros. So we mentioned that Chulin Daf Hey is a classic daf, Chulin Daf Vav is a classic daf, and Chulin Daf Zayin is another classic daf as well. Zok the Gemara. Heyid, Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Zeros Ben Chomov Shal Rameir, Rabbi Yehoshua, who was the son of Zeros, who was also the son of Rav Meir Shver, said Eidos Lifnei Rebbe, Al Rav Meir, regarding something Rav Meir did. What did Rav Meir do? She'ochal olo shel yorek, be'beishan. Rav Meir was in the city of Beishan, that was a city in Eretz Yisrael, and he ate a leaf of a vegetable without giving ma'isa from it. Ve'hiti Rebbe at Beishan kulo al yodai. And because of this Eidos, Rebbe accepted what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zeros had told him, and he went so far as to say that if Rav Meir, the great Rav Meir, ate an ola shel yerek without giving ma'aser, must be that Beit Shan, despite the fact that it's an Eretz Yisrael, is a city that's actually not chayiv in ma'aser. And he said, heretofore, any person that wants to eat from this city without giving ma'asers, it's going to be okay. Says the Gemara, Chibru Olav, Achbu Beis Aviv. And Rebbe's family, they ganged up against him. Chibru Olav, Amrulay, they told him, Makam Shav Yisechav, Abay Shav Yisechav, Nogu Bay Yisr, Atta Tinuk Bay Hete. How could you do that? We have a Messiah that Beit Shan is part of Eretz Yisrael, and like all of Eretz Yisrael, it's chayiv and Shumas of ma'asers. So because of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeros ben Chomav Shal Rav Meir told you, that he saw Rav Meir eat the leaf of a vegetable, and he doesn't think he gave ma'asers from it. Because of that, we're going to issue a psak to go ahead and say that the entire Beit Shan, a place that's becheskas chayiv and trumas v'maisers, is no longer chayiv and trumas v'maisers, says the Gemara Darash Lemikra Zeh. So Rebbe told him, it's true. In the past, people thought that Beit Shan is chayiv and trumas v'maisers. But it doesn't necessarily mean that what everybody thought was wrong, and it doesn't mean that I don't have a right to be mechadish that Beit Shan is really part of trumas v'maisers. And he supported this idea from a pasuk. It says, v'chitas nechash ha'nechoshes asher osam Moshe, ki adayom imoheim ahoyu b'nei Yisrael maktirim loy, v'yikru loy nechoshtim. The context is the nechash ha'nechoshes that's mentioned in Parashas Korach. The Torah talks about there was a terrible magefa where there were nechoshim that were killing Yidden. And Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to make a copper nachash, put it on a pole, and whoever would look at this copper nachash would miraculously be healed. That copper nachash survived the 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar. It came with the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, as the Yidden became steeped in Avodah Zarah, during Bayis Rishon, they began worshipping this Nechash HaNechoshes. Chizkiyo HaMelech, who was one of the righteous kings of Malchai Yehuda, went and he destroyed this Nechash HaNechoshes. And that's what this pasuk says. V'kitas Nechash HaNechoshes. Chizkiyo destroyed this Nechash HaNechoshes. What was the history of this Nachash Asher Asa Moshe? Ki Adayom Mahema, because up until those times, Hayu B'nei Yisrael Makti, the Yidden would worship it. And he gave it a derogatory name. He called it Nechushta. And Rebbe asked Akasha, Efshar ba Asa v'loy b'yaret. Asa was another one of the Malchi Yehuda. He was also one of the righteous kings. He too went and he made it his mission to destroy all the Avodah Zarah in the world. Apparently he hadn't destroyed the Nechash HaNechoshes. Because if it was around for Chizkiyot to destroy it, clearly Asa hadn't destroyed it. But Yehoshaphat v'loy b'yaret. We had Yehoshaphat earlier in Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Yehoshaphat was also another one of the righteous Malchi Yehuda. He too wiped out all the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. And for some reason, he didn't destroy the Nechash HaNechoshes. So what's Pashup Shat, Rebbe said? How is it possible that it was still around in the times of Chizkiyo? Why didn't Asa and Yehoshaphat destroy it? Elo, so Rebbe said an unbelievable insight. And it's because of this line Gemara that Chulin Daf Zayin is an often quoted daf. Mokum hi nichula yavois of liskader boy. Must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu behashkocha made it, the way the Marsha and the Teres Chaim explain the Gemara, that us and Yehoshaphat, for whatever reason, should not realize that this Nechash HaNechoshes had to be destroyed. And you know why Hashem did that? So that later, Chizkiyo should be able to come, and he should be able to contribute tremendously to Klal Yisrael. What would his contribution be? He would destroy the Nechash HaNechoshes that us and Yehoshaphat didn't destroy. Meaning, sometimes Hashem manipulates from on top and blinds the eyes of even tzaddikim for them not to realize something that needs to be done, simply so that somebody else can come. Mokam hinichu lo yavoisav lehiskader. What does lehiskader mean? Rashi says it's lehiskader, so that Chizkiyo should have a way to become great. Look at Rashi. Kishiyavoyu banenu acharenu im lo yimtzu malasakin. If the previous generations would take care of everything, but my yigdal shmam, what's the next generation going to contribute? So Hashem purposely makes it that the Friya Digadiris, as great as they are, and certainly greater than the later Dairis, but at the same time, sometimes they don't recognize everything that needs to be done, so that there's an opportunity now for the later Dairis to do something. So Rebbe told him, Afani mokim inichol yaboisai lizgadava. It's true, the Friya Digadiris thought that Beis Shan is a place that's chayiv and Trumas Ma'aseres. But I realize now that if Rebbe ate an Ola Shel Yerek in Beis Shan without giving Ma'aseres, must be that the previous generations got it wrong, and the emes is that Beis Shan is potter from Ma'aseres. You're going to tell me, how's it possible they got it wrong? Me, ani akotan, I'm going to get it right. Mishameis Rebbe batla anova, the Mishnah says, and then the Masechta Zayta. Rebbe said it's true, but mokum hinichuli avoysai lehiskad. It says the word mikan, from here you learn. From the fact that Rebbe accepted the testimony of Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeros, and he went so far to make a tremendous takana and say that the peiros and the yurakos that grow in Beishan is not chayv in trumas or maestras. You see from here that a Talmud Chacham that says a dvar halacha she'im azichanoisa. They're not supposed to tell him to leave and drop this halacha that you're saying. Va'amilo, some say that if a Talmud Chacham says halacha, something that at first glance seems to be a very big kiddush, im azichanoisa. We don't disparage him. Va'amilo, some at a different gersa, im azichanoisa. We don't accuse him that the reason he's saying what he said, even though it's wrong, we think it's wrong, is because of gaiva that he has, that he wasn't mekabel properly from his rabbi. Either way, you see from here that if a Talmud Chacham says a kiddush, something at first glance seems, no way, Beis Shan is potter from Trumas Ma'aseres. Imagine a Talmud Chacham would walk into Beis Medrash and say that. So what would be your first reaction? One of three things: mazichenoisai, maznichenoisai, or mazchichenoisai. They're all synonyms of the same concept. You would tell them you got it wrong. You see from here that that's not what you're supposed to do. A Talmud Chacham that says Dvar Halacha ain't mazichenoisai. We don't tell him that you got it wrong. Ain't maznichenoisai. We don't disparage him. Ain't mazchichenoisai. We don't accuse him of getting it wrong because of some sort of gaiva. What's the shayrish to these three words? Man dama mazichen kedechsib v'lo yizach hachoshen. Well, Yizach HaChoshen, the Pasuk says, Me'al Eifoid. The Choshen always had to be on the Eifoid. Ein Mazichen, I say. We don't tell him to remove this halacha. Umandom, Ein Maznichen. Where do you find this Lashon of Maznichen? Like the idea of disparaging the Chsiv. Kilo Yiznach Leil Mashem. Umandom, Maznichen, the time we learned in the Mishnah, Mishra Rabu Zachuche Halev, when there were Bali Gaiva, Rabu Machloikis, Be Yisrael. Either way, so Rebbe said a Chiddush, based on the fact that Rameir was eating an Olashel Yerek in Beis Shan, that Beis Shan is not chayv in Trumas Ma'aseres. Now, if you're saying that Beis Shan is not chayv in Trumas Ma'aseres, at first glance it sounds like it's another way of saying that Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Fake the Gemara, Maskevlar, you the Brei Rebbe Shulman Pazi, Mikel Man Damo the Beis Shan Lav Eretz Yisrael. Is it possible that there's someone that holds that Beis Shan is not a part of Eretz Yisrael? Look, Siv, it's a pasuk. It's in Shoyft in Perek Aleph. The pasuk says, "V'lo yehorish Menashe es Beis Shan ve'es benoisel ve'es Tanach ve'es benoisel." The pasuk says clearly that Menashe didn't properly cause all the Ivdei Kechavim that were living in Beis Shan and Tanakh to leave Beis Shan and Tanakh respectfully. Meaning, the Yidden were told when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you should conquer the land, and you have an obligation to eradicate, like Sechaya Kol Neshama, any member of the seven nations, of the seven Canaanite nations that are going to be living in the land at the time. You have to get rid of them. You have to get rid of them, their Avodah Zarah, all the terrible things that they had. Either way, the pasuk says that Menashe didn't follow through. For the Hirish Menashe es Beis Shan ves Benoisel ves Tanach ves Benoisel. But clearly, you see that Beis Shan was part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a kasha because it's the mitzvah of the Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochim Mishum Rabbi Lazman Shama Mishum Rabbi Lazman Shemua Harbi Krak and Kofshen Oyle Mitzrayim Veloy Kofshen Oyle Bava. There were many lands that the Oyle Mitzrayim were koivish. Meaning Yeshua ben Nun, when he came into Eretz Yisrael during the 14 years that they spent conquering the land and dividing the land, there were many krakim that the Oyle Mitzrayim conquered. But v'loy kofshon oyle bavel. But then the oyle bavel, when they went up to Eretz Yisrael since Sveitinmol, after Golus Bavel in the times of Ezra, they did not reconquer those lands. Okay, because savak tusha rishayna kitchel eshaita v'loy kitchel asadlofa. And the reason they didn't do that was because they were of the opinion that tusha rishayna is kitchel eshaita v'loy kitchel asadlofa. So that when Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzradan and the Babylonian army destroyed the first base of Mikdash with Churban Beis HaMikdash, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael went away. There was no Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So that now when the Oyle Bavel were going up to Eretz Yisrael, they had to reestablish Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And they purposely left certain lands without Kedusha. They had a right to do it. Again, how could they do it? Because there's no Kedusha now. because Kedusha Rishayin, Kitchel Lashaita, Veloy Kitchel Asalavi. So now they're setting the guidelines. They're going to decide which lands have Kedusha or not, and they purposely omitted certain lands. Why? Because they wanted that Taniyim on Shemitah should be able to collect their Lekid Shikha Peya and get all the fringe benefits that they were entitled to. On a Shemitah year, it was a big problem for the Aniyim because nobody works the lands, so there's no Lekid, there's no Shikha, there's no Peya. You know, the Gvir, the Balabas, and he can survive a Shvias. But how's the Ani going to survive a Shvias? So out of sensitivity, the Oyvei Bavel felt that it's better that there'd be lands where people could work on Shemitah so that there'll be all the Trumas and Maestras that go to the Aniyim. It's like this, they'll be able to survive. But what do you see from here? What you see from here is that there were lands that had been conquered by Yeshua and Benon, that had Kedusha Rishayna, but did not have Kedusha Shniyah. It's a Sokhti Gemara, Beis Sha'an. It's true, had Kedusha Rishayna. It's a Pasuk in Shaif and Perek Aleph. The Pasuk says how Menashe didn't properly eradicate all the Shiva Umois that were living in Beis Sha'an. Clearly, it was one of the lands of Canaan. It was one of the lands that the Oyvei Mitzrayim conquered, but the Oyvei Bavel didn't conquer it. And that was the Chiddush that Rebbe saw from this Maisa with Reb Meir, from the fact that Reb Yeshua ben Zeruz ben Chomav Shor Meir told Rebbe that Reb Meir ate an Ola Shol Yerek in Beis Sha'an. Vaisleis Reb Meir held that Beis Sha'an is not a part of Eretz Yisrael. It's not Kedushas Ha'aretz to the point that it should be chayv and trumas and maestros. Aye, what do you mean? It's a pasuk in Shoftim, it was part of Eretz Yisrael. It had kedusha rishayna. It didn't have kedusha shnei. How's that possible? Because kedusha rishayna kitchel shaita v'loy kitchel asalavei. And we know for a fact that there were many cities that shekav shemoy lemitzrayim v'loy kav shemoy lebavel. Beis Sha'an was one of those cities. It was one of the cities shekav shemoy lemitzrayim v'loy kiv shemoy lebavel. The Gemara is not finished. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah the Reb Zeira for Ameir all about alma who the achol. Rabbi Yirmiyah told Reb Zeira, you know, I don't understand the story. At the end of the day, what did Ameir eat? He ate a leaf. He ate a leaf. He didn't sit down and eat a suda. He ate a leaf. In halachic terms, he ate what's called an achilas arai. An achilas arai, you're allowed to eat without being mafish, shumas, and maestras. So how could you bring a raya from an achilas arai? Amalesa, he told him, me'aguda achle. It's true, he only ate an achilas arai, but he took the leaf out of a bundle of leaves. And the halach is, again, in kamekoymoy, that once you bundle up all the vegetables, at that point, you're not even allowed to eat an achilas arai without being mafresh maestris. Thus, even though what he ate was technically a snack, it was an achilas arai, but it was after it had already been bundled. Thus, if Beis Sha'an was chayiv and maestris, Rameir would have been mafresh maestris. But tonight, Yerek HaNegad, Mishay Yogit, and as soon as you bundle the Yerokas, at that point, you're not even allowed to eat an achilas arai. V'dilma afraid to Gemara, lava daite. How can you bring a raya from the store? Maybe Rameir didn't realize. Maybe Rameir thought that it wasn't bundled. How do you know Rameir knew this? Maybe Reb Meir was nichshol in Isser Teva. He ate this Ola Shel Yerek in Beis Sha'an, which is really chayiv in Maestros, but he just did it by mistake. So the Gemara says, Hashto behemtim shel tzadikim, ena kodesh baruch, meiv takal ha-yodam, tzadikim atzmon, loy kolshkein. As we're going to see in a moment, the Gemara is going to finally tell us the story of the chamor of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. When we see that kodesh baruch Hu protects behemishal tzadikim to not be nichshol machalos asuris. Certainly tzadikim themselves. V'nil b'freitim or Yisrael lemi mokam achen. Rameir didn't give maestros. Maybe he gave maestros. Now, Rameir was traveling. He didn't have any maestros with him. But maybe in his house he had been mafresh maestros for something that he would find later. So the Gemara says, this is also maestros 101, that there's a halacha that you're not supposed to eat from something if you're not in close proximity to the maestro. And being Rameir didn't have the maestro in close proximity, so that can't be what happened. V'dum al-nasav ena b'tzadze v'acha b'tzadze. But maybe he meant to be mafresh maestros right there. He was eating an ola. Maybe he only ate part of it. And the other part in his mind was going to be maestros. And even though he didn't physically, he wasn't physically mafresh it, because had he been physically mafresh it, then what was the edos? But even though he wasn't physically mafresh it, but maybe in his mind, he had a machshava to be mafresh it. I mean, had Rabbi Yeshua know that he wasn't mafresh it? You could be mafresh truma and meiser in your machshava, v'nechshav lochem trumaschem, it's a pasuk. You could do it in your machshava. So maybe he did it in a machshava, amaleis, rebis, I hear what you're saying, but chazim man gabri rabbi komas asad aleh. At the end of the day, who was the one that said this edos? It was Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeruz, ben Chomosh Rameir. He was a gabri rabbi. He knows hilchas meisers, just like we know hilchas meisers. He made all these cheshbonos. If he walked in all excited that he thought that he had a maaser rab with Rameir, he must have worked it all out. He felt that Rameir was not mafresh maaseres. Must be because Beis Sha'an is not chayv and trumas and maaseres. It's a pasuk in Shoftim that Beis Sha'an is chayv and trumas and maaseres. Must be it's one of those cities that had kedusha rishayna, but like kafshim oile bavel. As a result, it did not have kedusha shnia. So before we go weiter, and the next gemara is another classic of few hours. Number one. So the gemara began with an edus of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zeruz ben Chomov Shel Rameir. The Maloy HaRoyim in his Agoyas in the back of the Gemara says that it sounds like Rabbi Yehoshua was the son of Zeruz. He was also the son of Rav Meir Shver. As if to say, Rav Meir Shver was Zeros. He's very bothered by that, because everybody knows, who is Rav Meir Shver? Rav Chananya ben Tradion. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches. Everybody knows Rav Chananya ben Tradion had a daughter whose name was Bruria. Bruria was also Rav Meir's wife. So L'chaira, was Zeros Rav Meir Shver? Or was Rav Chananya ben Tradion Rav Meir's Shver? Says the Maloi HaRayim, it could be that maybe the way you're supposed to read the Gemara is not Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeros, and Rabbi Yeshua himself was ben Cham of Shora Meir, but Zeros was ben Cham of Shora Meir. Rabbi Yeshua was the son of Zeros, who himself was the son of Rav Meir Shver. So that'd be another way of saying Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeros ben Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion. But Frank the Maloi HaRayim, that's also very troublesome, because why would the Gemara refer to Rav Chananya ben Tradion as Rav Meir Shver? I mean, it's very chashuv to be Rav Meir Shver. But Rav Chananya ben Tradion was one of the Asar Rugei Malchus, one of the 10 martyrs. He was one of the Gedolei Atanam in his own right. So Much is very stark. He says, presumably Rav Meir had two wives, and one wife was Bruria, the daughter of Rav Chananya ben Tradion, and the other wife had a father whose name was Zeros. Meir two Shvers. One Shver was Rav Chananya ben Tradion, Zeros. How could Rav Meir have two wives? Pre-Cherem the Rabbeinu Gershom, although it's not so posher that the Tanam, or that in the times of the Gemara, people actually had multiple wives. I mean, when you learn Masechtas Yevamos, you get the sense that people did. But if you go through Halacha L'Maisa, there aren't that many Gemaras where the Gemara talks about real-life situations where people had more than one wife. But Pasha, the Pshat probably is that Rashi brings in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches that Bruria was Ma'abed Atzma L'Das. And she had passed away. So after Bruria was Ma'abed Atzma L'Das, at that point, Rav Meir remarried. He married the daughter of Zeros. Rabbi Yeshua was his shvager. But either way, it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeros ben Chamav shel Rav Meir. Now it's interesting that the Gemara said that this Beis Shan apparently was a questionable place. Is it part of Eretz Yisrael? Is it not part of Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara already made it. Of course it's part of Eretz Yisrael. It's a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim. Said the Gemara that maybe it was one of the cities that the Olei Mitzrayim had been Kovish, but that the Olei Bavel were not Kovish. I saw a gewaldige ha'ara. Yaakov Emden in his Agoyis Yaivitz, right in the back of the Gemara, and this is in Yonah the Yoma, asks a question from Megillas Tainus. So Megillas Tainus is a Megillah that has brises that talks about certain days that describe good things that happen to Klal Yisrael and bad things that happen to Klal Yisrael. On the bad days, you're supposed to fast, and on the good days, we're supposed to celebrate as a yontif. For example, Chanukah is mentioned in Megillas Tainus. That's the only yontif that's in Megillas Tainus that we keep Ada Yom Hazeh. It's the story of Chanukah. Either way, it's written, the way the Megillas Tainus is broken down is based on the month of the year. Every month has certain days on the calendar. You're supposed to circle on a day like this. No Hespedim, no Tanesim. It's a yontif. Says the Megillas Tainus, Perek Shlishi, third month, which is Sivan. B'chameser bey u'beshitzer bey. So on the 15th day of Sivan and the 16th day of Sivan, Golu Anshe Beis Shan v'Anshe Bekasa. The Yidden were successful in causing the non-Jews that were living in Beis Shan and Bekasa to go to Galus. And he explains, V'afim hoyu yasid rol Yisrael b'mei Yevonim. The context was in the times of the Yevonim. And there were many places where there were enclaves of terrorists, of people that were causing the Yidden a lot of tzaras. And these people that were living in Beis Shan had not gone into exile back in the day. It's possible you can shave them. And David Melech Yisrael wasn't either successful in getting them to leave the land. And one of the things the Chashminon did after the story of Chanukah, after they became kings, they ruled over Eretz Yisrael for 103 years, the Gemara says. So during that 103-year period, they started doing things that their predecessors hadn't done. One of the things they did was they finally potted up the Yidden from all these chevermans that were living in Beis Shan. It was a tremendous yontif for Klal Yisrael. They were finally able to eradicate them. It's beautiful. Either way, it's a Megillas Tainus, it's Perek Shlishi, the 15th day of Sivan and the 16th day of Sivan were a yontif. Why? Because the Chashmonaim went, stuck a flag. They took over the land of Beis Shan. Faith of Yaakov Emden. How could you tell me the Olei Bavel didn't conquer it? It's a Mefurish Abraisa. It's a Abraisa. They conquered it. What does the Gemara say? Rav Meir ate an Olah Shel Yerek in Beis Shan. How was he able to eat an Olah Shel Yerek in Beis Shan? So Rebbe said, Vaistois, Beis Shan doesn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean doesn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? It's a Pasuk in Shoftim. Yeshua Benun conquered Beis Shan. Zok, the Gemara, Rebbe held, it's true, Yeshua Benun conquered Beishan. But that was only Kedusha Rishayna. Kedusha Rishayna Kitchel Ashaita Veloy Kitchel Azalavai. So when the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, there was no Kedusha Rishayna anymore. The question now is, was it reconquered? Depends. Did the Olei Babel take Beishan, or did they not take Beishan? Rebbe proved from the Maisa Shahaya Kachaya with Rav Meir that the Olei Babel did not conquer Beishan. As a result, it didn't have Kedusha Shniya. Frank Rav Yaakov Emden, how can you tell me the Olei Babel didn't conquer Beishan? It's Mefurish that the Chashmenon conquered Beishan. So at that time, when the Chashmenon conquered Beishan, it should have gotten Kedusha Shniya, which means that years later, after the Churban, when Rav Meir was eating the Olei Shayar, he had no right to eat the Olei Shayar. Because even if you're going to tell me that Ezra didn't conquer it, but it happened 150 or so years later, after the story of Hanukkah. The Chashminom came and they conquered. As they freaked Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you have to say a Chiddush. Rabbi Yaakov Emden held this was a very big Chiddush. That Vaistois, that it was only the Olei Bavel. When the Yidden came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ezra, they had a special kayach to go and to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And any land that they went and conquered got Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It became Chayev and Chumas and Maestras. According to most Rishayim Medei Raisa, the Rambam Kiyadu is a Das Yochid that holds that Bizman Bayesheni, there was no Chumas and Maestras Medei Raisa. It was only Medei Rabba. But most Rishayim hold that Kibush Sheni, the Olei Babel, had an ability to give Eretz Yisrael Kedusha, leading Chumas and Maestras, even on a Dei Raisa level. But it was only the Olei Babel. It was only the Yidden that had gone from Babel into Eretz Yisrael. Being that this story happened 100 years later, this happened already in the times of the Chashmenom. They didn't have that kayak. It's true they conquered the land. That's Megillah's Tainus. That's not disputable. But at that point, they did not have the ability to give it Kedush Seret Yisrael. It's unbelievable. It was only the Olei Babel themselves, Mamish the Yidden, that went in the times of Ezra. They had the kayak to give it Kedush Seret Yisrael. But what happened later in the times of the Chashmenom, it's true they conquered. That's very nice. Now it was part of Eretz Yisrael. And Vasu Yontif, it was a Simcha Gedayla. Once upon a time, Tez Vav Sivan and Tez Zayin Sivan was like Hanukkah. No Menaira, but it was a Yontif. Yontif said, how? It was a regular Yontif. Chanukah comes from the Megillah's Tainus. Either way, but at the same time, in terms of giving a Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, there was a Tanai, it had to be the Olei Babel Dafka that were coming up in the times of Ezra, and being that that didn't happen in that context, it doesn't count as far as giving a Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. That's the second Ara. The third Ara is the Gemara mentioned that Rebbe said, you're going to ask me, how's it possible that I'm being mechadish to you that Beishan is not Chayv and Truma? Everybody thought Beishan is Chayv and Truma from Ezra. And now because of what I told you, what I know something that my predecessors didn't know, said Rebbe, yes, Mokum hinichu li avoisai lihis gadarboy. It's interesting that Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a tshuva that we speak at all the time, it's Yerideya Chelak Aleph, it's Simon Kuf Aleph, and apparently the Shoyl was giving Rav Moshe a hard time for a kula that he issued. And this is one of Rav Moshe's declarations that he gave that really, it describes Rav Moshe's whole hagosha towards Psak and towards the entire Igros Moshe. He says as follows: Umasha kasav yedidi eich risham anu lismoich al chidushim ka'elu shebi arti lamaisa ubefratshu neged ezach reina. So apparently, Rav Moshe said a chiddush, and it was keneged ezach reina. The Shoyl was very bothered by it. Hinei ani oimer v'farnasa keitzu gvul l'teirachas v'shalom. What, is there a gvul, there's a ketz to Torah? That whatever you have in Svarim, that you can work off of, but you're not allowed to say a chiddush after that? Meaning, you're trying to say that if somebody asks me a shayla, and it's not mefurish in the Chasam Sofer, it's not in the Nedib Yehuda, it's not in the Avnei Nezer, it's not in the Marsham, it's not a Meshach Chachma, that's it? We're supposed to leave it on the table? Sorry, I can't bask in the shayla? Of course not. Vadei la niyas taiti also leimerkein. The vadei oid ya nowadays, says Rav Moshe, there's going to be a tremendous ribuy of Torah. Any person that has the ability, he has the capacity to be paskin a shayla, kafia efshale bechakir vidrisha hated b'shasu poiskin b'havana yeshar ubrayis mechaynes. He has an obligation to do it. Afshu din chadash. Even if he's going to come out saying a chiddush, shalay dibru oidais b'svarim. Va'af bedin hanimtza b'svarim. Even if you're going to paskin, and you're going to see that the shayla that was asked to you is mefurish in svarim. You have to understand it. You can't just issue a psak without understanding what it is you're saying. Gam kein tzorech hamoira lohavenoisoi ulachria bedaitei koidem shiyoira v'loi lohoirois rak mashen mach mashen nimtzakein. Yeah, let it do that. Tahavi zekein moira mitoich mishnasoi. He says, if somebody paskins a shayla because he saw a psak in a sefer, and he doesn't understand the psak, but it's mefurish in the sefer, so he's going to issue this psak. Says Rav Moshe, I believe that's similar to paskining a halacha shayla from a mishnah. And what does the mishnah say about someone that paskins a shayla from a mishnah? Someone is meira mitaych mishnasai hareza mevalei ha'olam. Pretty sharp. Va'afim achra asay, says Ramayisha, and even if you're going to paskin a shayla and you're going to come out neged eze ga'oinim mei rabbi seinu achrayinim, you're going to come out not like the achrayinim. Mabekach. Doesn't matter. We're allowed to argue with Achrayim. Gam lefamim aleze rishayim. We're even allowed to argue on rishayim sometimes. Kishiyesh rayos nechaynos v'ha'ikir gam betaimim nechaym. As long as we have good svaras. Val kiyotz v'za amru ein ledayin alamasha ein avroyos. Kim mefurish b'lav v'basur daf kuf lamed aleph ein shamber ashba. Kimen she'enoi neged apoyskim ha'mefursamim bali ha'shulchan aruch she'neskablu mechamad dinaseinu. What you can't do is you can't go neged the apoyskim ha'mefursamim bali. You can't go connect the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkus Mechaikik and the Shach and the Taz and the Levush and the Prima. You can't go connect the Poiskim Hamifursamim. But as long as you're not going connect the Poiskim Hamifursamim, you can argue with Achrayim. And Ramosha says, V'gab lefamim al ezer rishayim. Kishayesh rayos nechayim. Then Ramosha says, and that's the punchline for this morning. There's 10 punchlines in this, depending on what daf we're learning. For this morning, the punchline is, Al kayoitze bezenemar, mokami nichol is kaderboy. That's the Gemara Chul, and daf zayin amad aleph. You see, Rebbe went ahead, he said a gewaldige chiddush. He says, can you imagine? You see how they went after Rebbe. Chibru alav, the Lashon HaGemara is. Achiv ubeis aviv. They came to chabur against him, his brothers, his family. They were upset at him, the mishpacha. They went, Rebbe, how could you issue such a psak? How could you do something like that? I hear, that's exactly what Moshe said. So you're coming after me, you have a problem with a kula that I said, Mokim hinichuli me'avoysai, it's half of a fellow. And then he says his famous shtickle, he says to the contrary, he says he thinks that you very often poiskim are afraid to issue a kula because they think they might be wrong, and that's what yishtalsu Rav Tzchayi ben Afkilas and the Sinusay Rav Tzchayi is what caused Churban Beis HaMikdash, because he was afraid to kill Bar Kamsa and he was afraid to be makriv about Mumma on the Mizbeach because of Gzeirais. And Rabbi Yechanan said that it was Anvas Anushes Rabbi Tzchayi that caused Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Maratzchias. We've spoken that out many times. It actually struck me as I was reading this tshuva. So it's Yerideya Simin Kuf Aleph. Kuf Aleph is it's an easy number to remember. It's 101. The Velt says the Rav Moshe made a Sim HaShas once, and he said, and he made it, it was a big tumult, he invited a lot of people, and the Rav Moshe finished Shas all the time. So he said it's the second time that he's finishing Shas 101 times. It was 202 times. So I think it's a little symbolic. It's Tshuva 101. Rav Moshe had a right to write a Tshuva like this. This is something that you can't abuse this power. Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I mean, these are Gedoy Le'olam, but this is Simin Kuf Aleph, 101. Moshe was called Rosloy, honestly. But either way, it's interesting. This idea of Mokum Hinichuli, Avoisai Leskadabam, how it permeates Psak, nice Mar Mokum, incidentally, is the Teres Chaim on this Gemara. We have no time for this. But either way, Zokta Gemara Vaiter, and again, the next Gemara is a classic. My Behemtah Shal Tzadikim. This is already the third time that the Gemara mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the behemoth of Tzadikim. So if Hashem protects behemoth Shal Tzadikim, Tzadikim Atzmon Lekolshkin, so who is this behemoth, and of which Tzadik was it, and what's the backdrop of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected. Zok de Gemara, Dra Pinchas ben Yair, have a causal opinion shvuyim. The great Rav Pinchas ben Yair was once going, he was involved in Askonus, pinyon shvuyim, pogabe beginoi nahara. And he came to the river Ginoi. Amaloi, Ginoi chalikli. There was no bridge. And it was very hard for Pinchas ben Yair to get to the other side of the river. So he turns to the river and he instructs him and he says, I want you to split. The Everbach, I need a cross. Amalei, he told him, I understand why you want me to split, because you're on your way to do a mitzvah. And as a result, you know, you want me to make room for you. But you should know, I'm also doing Ritzayin Koini. Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to do what I'm doing. And not just that, at the Suffolk, Oysa, Suffolk, Yata, Oysa, you're going to hopefully be able to redeem these captives. But Ani Vade Oysa, Amale, so Pinchas Ben Yair told him, Yata, Chayle, Gozrani, Lecha, Shalei, Avrim, Chal, Maim, Loyal. He says, listen, if you don't split, I'm letting you know right now, this is going to be the end. You're never going to have water again. So the Gemara says that the river got scared, Chalak, Lei, and he split. Habahu, Gavad, Habadori, Chite, Lepiscop. Now, Pinchas Ben Yair was traveling together with a caravan. And one of the people there was carrying chitin, and he was going to use it to make matzah. So Pinchas Ben Yair told this, the river, I want you to split for him as well. Because he's also going to do a mitzvah. There was an Arab merchant that was traveling along with them as well. The love about Dayu. I want you to split for him too. Why him? Because otherwise they're going to say, what does it look like? So Pinchas Ben Yair is crossing, and this Yid that's doing mitzvahs is crossing. You know, he was part of our Chabura, Rashi says. This is the way you treat a member of your Chabura. Ayin Rashi. So the Yam split for all three. Rav Yosef heard the story. He said, Kam Benofish Gavra. You see how great Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was. He was greater than Moshe the Shittin River. He was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu in the 600,000 Yidden. Because Moshe Rabbeinu in 600,000 Yidden, the sea split, but it split once. Here it split three times. How do you know? Maybe it only split one time. Meaning, it split one time, and before the river was able to go back, Rav Pinchas says, maybe just hold off another minute, and then hold off another minute. But how do you know that it split three times? Maybe it only split one. So Yosef said, I hear, Elokim Moshe v'shit river. Not greater than Moshe, but at the very least, Kim Moshe. The sea split for Moshe. You see, it split for Rav Pinchas Ben Yair as well. Says the Gemara, Iklo lahu shbizo. So now Rav Pinchas Ben Yair is on the other side of the river. And he comes to an inn. They're going to eat. Romalei sairu l'chamre. So the owner of the inn gave sa'irin, that's Michael Behema, to the chamor of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. Lo yachol. And the chamor refused to eat. Chavtino. So they thought that maybe there's something wrong with the wheat. So they sifted it a little bit better. Lo yachol. Still didn't want to eat it. Nakrino. So they went and they cleaned it even better. Rashi says with their hands. Still, he didn't want to eat. Amalu. So Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said, Dumalei ma'asr. Is it possible that you never gave ma'aser? So the Gemara says, yeah, it's true. We never gave ma'aser. Asrino. So they gave ma'aser from the Sa'ir of Achal. And the Chamar ate. Amar. So Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said, Aniyazu, this poor donkey, Hoyleches Lasis Ritzon Kaino, is on its way to do this unbelievable mitzvah. Va'ata machila noisat fallen. And you're feeding it tevel. It sounds like the donkey was chayev in Maestris. But now we learned in the Mishnah. If somebody buys tefuah from an Amma Oretz, he buys demai. And the purpose of the tefuah was not to eat it. Rather, it was lezera. He was going to use it as seed. All the behemoth to feed it to his behemoth. The kemach, or he bought kemach le'oreis. To use to tan. The shemen liner, or he bought oil that he was going to use not to put in food but to light neiros. The shemen lasuch bayasakel. Potter me ad mai. The loch is he's potter from the mai. So here too, the chur, there was no chir. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair is taking the sa'irim, he's giving it to his donkey. You see clearly, keach lebehema. It's not a problem. This was demai, right? He bought it from an amaret. We don't know for sure there was no ma'aser. Really, it was only demai. So, Rabbi Yechon said that's only true of the katchila. When you took it for the behemah. But let's say you took demai from an amaret, and your kavana initially was to eat it yourself. The nimachalim, the behemah, then you change your mind, you decide to give it to the behemah. Chayv la'aser. Vatanya, this is benichusa. Havekeach peres menashuk. Somebody buys peres menashuk la'achila. Either way, so the Gemara says, this is the story of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's behema who did not want to eat from this sa'irim. And the reason is because there was no ma'aser. Now clearly the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting the behema because the behema has no bechira, the behema has no das, the behema doesn't know what it's doing or isn't doing. So hashta behemten shel tzadikim. That's the rest of the story. But the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Shama Rebbe. Rebbe heard that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair came to town. So he runs out to Rav Pinchas Ben Yair and he tells him, do you want to come eat by me? So he told him, hey, yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the offer. I'm willing to come eat with you. When Rebbe heard that, he was very excited. And the reason he was excited was because the Gemara is going to say on the bottom of the Yomid, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair used to not accept invitations from people. So it's very hard to get Rav Pinchas Ben Yair to sit at your dining room table. So when Rav Pinchas Ben Yair told Rebbe that he's willing to come eat by him, he was very excited. So Rav Pinchas Ben Yair turns to Rebbe. He says, why are you so excited? You think that I'm a mudra ana, as if I have a shita that I will never eat by anybody, as if I made a neder and I said all of Klai Yisrael's asim hana on me, Nedarim 101, and it's for that reason I don't need it. That's not the reason, but rather the reason is, and this next line is another classic, Yisrael Kedoshim, he said, Yidin are Kedoshim, Yesh Roi Tzvein, there are some Yidin that want so badly to shear and to give tzedaka and to have people sit at that dining room table, but unfortunately they just can't afford it, they don't have. The Yesh, and he said, Yesh Leveni Roitza, and then there are many Yidin that have, but they just don't want. They're not interested in having anybody. So how in the world am I supposed to, I don't want to go to anybody because I'm afraid maybe he's an aimline Or maybe he's a yeshloi, but he's an enei roitzav. Except in the pasuk says, "Al tilcham es lechem ra'ayin." Don't take bread from someone who's a ra'ayin, a miser. Val tisav the matamoisam. I don't have a taiva for his things. Ki gemayshar benafshe keinu echal u'shtei yomelach. Because this person, yeah, he may invite you into his house. He'll tell you eat and drink, enjoy yourself. But really inside, he's not enjoying this because it hurts him. He's a miser. Va'atos or pchenina. So Reb Pinchas ben Yair told Rabbi that really the reason I don't eat by people, it's not a shita. It's not because I'm a mudr hanami Yisrael, but rather I know Yisrael kedoshim him. Yisrael tzevein. But the Ato, you Rebbe, you're a Reitza. I know you want to share the Yeshlecha. Rebbe was a tremendous Gevir. We know that Oichle Shulchanei, when Merubim Taisu says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Loi Poskim Al Shulchanei, Loi Chazeres, Loi Tzoyin, Loi B'maisachamav, Loi B'maisakshamim. Right, the Gemara depicts, tells the story of what Rebbe's table looked like. So Pinchas Ben Yair said, I have no problem eating by you. Stating that, Mia Hashtem Sarivna. Right now, I'm a little bit tired. It's very hard for me to concentrate right now. Dibbe Milsa, the Mitzvah Katarachno, because I'm on my way to do a Mitzvah. So let me go do my mitzvah. I have a pidyon shvuyim to do. It's very hard for me to sit down and break bread. Ki hadarna, when I come back, asina, I lead a lagabach. Then I'll come back, I'll visit you, and then we're going to eat. Says the Gemara ki asa, when Reb Pinchas Ben Yair came back, Isrami. So the following happened. So Reb Pinchas Ben Yair walks into Rebbe's house. He walks into one of the side entrances, and he sees white mules. Amar, Reb Pinchas Ben Yair said, Malach HaMavis Bebeisai Shalzev Ani Esai. That's like, I'm happy to eat by Rebbe, but I'm not going to eat by Rebbe if the Malach HaMavis is there. Now, a white mule apparently was a very dangerous animal. So because it was a dangerous animal, Reb Pinchas Ben Yair felt, he said, I'm not going to risk my life. That much already I'm not going to do. The Malach HaMavis is here. So he didn't want to walk in. Shamai Rebbe. So Rebbe heard that Reb Pinchas Ben Yair refuses to walk into his house because of these white mules. Amalei, he told him, I'm going to sell the mules. You have nothing to worry about. Amalei, Reb Pinchas Ben Yair told him, how could you sell it? You're selling the Malach HaMavis to somebody else? So Rebbe said, I hear mafkarnalu. I'm not going to sell. I'm going to make it hefker. So he said, that's much worse. Mafshas hezeka. Now, I mean, bishloim, if somebody owns the Malach HaMavis, so he's not a leash. The Malach HaMavis is unhinged. It's hefker. There's no way you could do that. So he said, okarnalu. You know what? I'm going to remove the hooves of this white mule. It won't be dangerous anymore. You can't just go ahead and do that. So he said, katulnalu. I'll kill it. Can't kill it. It could bal tashchis. So the Gemara says, I've become a vatish base. I mean, Rebbe Pasha didn't know what to do. It's here. So the Gemara, as they were talking, gavatur beinayu. Miraculously, a mountain arose between Reb Pinchas Ben Yair and Rebbe. And he just couldn't see them. That was that. Bacha Rebbe Vama. Rebbe started to cry. He said, "Ma bechayeim kach? If during the lifetime of the tzaddikim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's oisei ritzoinoi shal tzaddikim, meaning Reb Pinchas Ben Yair did not like eating by other people." And even though he told Rebbe that the reason is because he's Yisrael Kedoshim, but at the end of the day, it wasn't something that he preferred to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Oysi Ritzayin. It's like Rashi, how Hashem made it that he should walk into Rebbe's house and he should see this white mule, and it turned into this whole halachic shayla. He didn't know how to give Zechanetza with it. And in the meantime, everything worked out that somehow Reb Pinchas Ben Yair did not have to do something he didn't want to do. Then he saw son Alachas Kama Vakama, and certainly after Tzaddik is already halach le'ilamai, there's no question HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect the Tzaddik. How do you know? How do you know what Tzaddik is greater than Misasa Yosemi Bechayev? Maybe while he's alive, he's greater. How do you know that when he's a tzaddik? The Gemara, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, G'dayim tzaddikim b'Misasam Yosemi Bechayev. The tzaddikim are greater b'Misasam than they are Bechayev. Shenemah vayihem koyvim ish v'nei roes hagedud. The story was that there were people burying a person, and as they're burying him, they see that the enemy starts coming. This is a Malachim base. So they took this man and they quickly buried him. They threw him into a little Beis HaKvaris. It turns out that Elisha, the Navi Elisha, was buried there. And somehow this person that's being buried touches the bones of Elisha. And by touching the bones of Elisha, he came back to life. And he literally stood up. So what do you see from here? Why? Because we know that Elisha was Mechayim Mesim while he was alive. The son of the Isha HaShunamis. But when he was Mechayim Mesim while he was alive, it wasn't so easy. It took a lot of work. It's one of the Haftiris. Kiyadua. Now, the person touched Elisha, and all of a sudden, he had Chiyas HaMesim. So you see that G'doylem Tzadikim B'Misason Yosem B'Chayayim. And that was what Rebbe said. Bocha Rebbe. He said, Ma B'Chayayim Kach. That if Reb Pinchas Ben Yair was protected like this while he's alive, could you imagine the protection he's going to be zoicha to? Lacham misasa, but the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Papa Abaya." How do you know that tzaddikim are greater than misasan yoisem b'chayim from this story? Are you going to tell me? Because it was much easier for Elisha to be mechayim meisem b'misasa. V'dilma likiyum ve'berachas adaliyo. Maybe the only reason Elisha was able to do what he did was because he already had a bracha from Eliyahu Hanavi. Tchsev, because Eliyahu Hanavi famously said, "Vehi no pishnayim beruchach elai." He said about his Talmud, his protege Elisha, that whatever Eliyahu Hanavi was able to do during his lifetime, Elisha is going to be able to do double. That was what he said. That whatever I was able to do, he'll be able to. Meaning, Eliyahu Hanavi was Mechayim Mason. In this context, Elisha would have to be Mechayim Mason twice. Now, during Elisha's lifetime, he was only Mechayim Mason once, which meant that there was one other Tchias HaMeisim he was going to have no choice to do. The reason Elisha had an ability to be Mechayim Mason now, Lacha Misasai, this was all because of the bracha of Eliyahu Hanavi. Now, if Elisha's not alive and he's being Mechayim Mason, he couldn't have done it the way he did it with the Isha Shunamis. He wasn't alive. So the only way for it to have been done was more passively, where the person touched Elisha and somehow he got alive. Meaning, it's not that he was great. He wasn't greater. Maybe he was greater when he was alive, or maybe he's just as great, Lacha Misasai, as he was when he was alive. And Elisha had the ability to be Mechayim Mason, but only with hard work. The reason this was able to happen wasn't because of the greatness of Elisha, it was because of the bracha of Eliyahu Hanavi. There was no other way for it to happen. So it happened in an easier way. But the Gemara says, Amalei Ihachi, if the reason Elisha was able to Mechayim Mason was because of the bracha of Eliyahu, then it wouldn't have played itself out the way it did. Because Hainu de Tanya, could you then understand the brisa that says, Al Raglav Amad Ulvesa Leholach? The Pasik says, Vayichi, Vayakam Al Raglav. And the brisa says, he was only able to stand up. Right after he stood up, he fell and he died. Meaning he wasn't able to go home and resume his life from where he had left off before he was buried. That already he wasn't able to do. Now, if this was a kiyum of the bracha of Eliyahu Hanavi, then he would have been able to do that. Vaistais, it had nothing. El b'mayikan. So the Gemara says, okay, so on this topic, so when exactly was Eliyahu Hanavi's bracha niskayim? If Eliyahu Hanavi gave Elisha a bracha that he was going to be pishnayim, when did that play itself out? He healed the tzaras of Naaman. That's the famous story of Naaman, who comes to Elisha. He was a non-Jewish officer, but regardless, Elisha performs this unbelievable miracle. We know Mitzayra is one of the four people that are chashav kemes, as the pasuk says, al nati kemes. By healing him, it was a bechina of tchias amesim. Zok digamar, am Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Lomit mikushman yemim. Why are mules called yemim? She'emasim utalas alabrios, because they're very scary. It's miloshen ema. Nobody ever asked me a question about someone that was bitten by a white mule and lived to tell the story. It's not true. People do live. Ema v'chayas. B'chanina didn't mean that they can't live. They could live. But the wound is never going to go away. But v'chazida the mitzi, also not true. We know people that were bitten by mules and they were able to. The Gemara says, the chivrin reish karayu kamin. We don't mean any white mule. We mean a white mule whose feet have white tips. That type of mule is very, very dangerous. Those mules are a masam mutelas ala briyos. The Amr Abchanina miyamai loisha lani adam almakas pirda levana excel. So before we go weiter, so the Gemara just told the story of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. There's a lot here, and we'll try to go through a little bit now, and then a little bit more tomorrow. But one of the things that you take away from this last Gemara is that Rav Pinchas ben Yair was a tremendous Baal Moifes. I mean, he was such a Baal Moifes that Rabbi Yosef said he was mamish like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu performed Oysaisu Moifesin, and perhaps the miracle with the Hei Ayodia was Kriyas Yamsuf. Oz Yashem Moshe with Kriyas Yamsuf, and Pinchas Ben Yair, on his way to do a mitzvah, he splits the sea, the Chevra comes along with him, even the Arab merchant, because he's part of the Chabura, what does it look like? Even he was able to cross the sea. He was able to perform this unbelievable miracle. And the question is, how was Rav Pinchas ben Yair able to perform these miracles? The Chassam Sofer, in his Chedushi Chassam Sofer, right here, Masechta Schulin, says, that why is it that Rebbe heard that Rav Pinchas ben Yair came to town, and what was Rebbe's immediate reaction? So he goes up to Rav Pinchas ben Yair and he invites him over. He says, can you come eat by me? And Rav Pinchas ben Yair said, yeah, and so vupanov. He was so excited. And Rav Pinchas says, why are you so excited? I'm not what I think. I'm a mudder, I'm not from Klal Yisrael. Zok the Heilige Chassam Sofer, nearly the Fima Shekasa B'Toysvus Rid, B'Perek Asora Yuchsin, B'Shem HaYerushalmi. Taisis Rid brings in the fourth parak of Masechtas Kedushin in the name of a Yerushalmi. The Chol Hanenem in Abriyos, any person that has any benefit from other people, Asur L'Shamish B'Shem HaKadosh U'B'Hashbois. He's not going to perform miracles using the Shem HaYisak Doshin. So we know that there were tzaddikim that were able to manipulate things using shemos, by being mashpia, miloshen shvua, by being mashpia malachim, by using different shemos, they were able to perform different miracles. And the Tosfos Rid says that he saw in the Yerushalmi says that any person that has any hanah from other people, if you're not a nenem yegia kapecha, you're a nenem in habriyos, asu l'shamish b'shem HaKadosh. Now, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair had just performed an unbelievable miracle. Rebbe heard about it. And Rebbe was a little concerned that maybe the reason Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was able to do it is because he was being mishtamish and shemos. And the Choshad Rebbe, that's the Lashon of the Chassam Sofer. And he wanted to clarify that. So the first thing he did was, he said, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, are you willing to come eat with me? And Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said, yeah. So Rebbe heard that, Savu Panav, he was so happy. He realized that he wasn't using Shemus HaKadoshim. Because had he been using Shemus HaKadoshim, had he been using Hashbois, he could have eaten by somebody else. Because like the Tosfos Rid says, Kol Anenim and Abrius Asul L'Shamish B'Shem HaKadosh U'B'Hashbois. So that was Rebbe's way of verifying exactly how Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair had just split the sea. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair split the sea. And Rebbe wanted, how did he do it? How did he perform this unbelievable miracle? Was it using shemos? Was it being mashpia melachim? He said, I have a very easy way to find out. Let me invite him over. If he says that he's willing to come eat by me, vayisloys, he's not using shemos. Because kol anenim and abriyos also l'shamish b'shem HaKadosh b'shashbos. Like the Tosfos brings in Perek Asar Yuchsim b'shem HaYerushalmi. So when he heard that tzav upanav, he realized that that's, so how did he do it? V'kivin sha'amar hei mevur shaloy al yidei hashpa shemos also. Elo, and the Chassam Sofer doesn't explain. V'aktigzar omer. So just a little bit of background to this. And that is, there's a Gemara in Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Yud Omer Aleph. The Gemara there is talking about writing a Sefer Torah. And the Gemara says that Rav Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Says the Gemara, Amru le Rabban al Rav Hamnuna, Kasev Rav Ami Dalet Meya Sifrei Torah. Amaluhu, so they told, Rav Hamnuna told the Rabban and Dilma, I think he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Maybe what he wrote was Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Maybe that was all he wrote. I don't know if he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Maybe what he wrote was Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The question is, if he wrote Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, what does it mean that he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah? So Tais asks the Kasha, and Tais brings from Rabbeinu Tam that the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, Katan Hayudei Ledaber, a Katan that learns how to talk, Aviv Melamdei Torah. His father's supposed to teach him Torah. What does he teach him? My Torah. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. So he says, you find that the words Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe are referred to as Torah, and said Rav Hamnuna, that maybe that's what this rumor is, that Rav Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. He didn't really write 400 Sifrei Torah. What he did was he wrote Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe 400 times. The Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva, it's a Rechayim Tshuva Kuf Tzadik Zayin. He brings the Gemara and he says, Hayakashali. This Gemara always bothered me. He said, Haloi Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life wrote 12 Sifrei Torah. He wrote 12 Sifrei Torah in one day. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was able to write 12 Sifrei Torah in one day, Mehechet Pesi, Rav Ami couldn't write 400 Sifrei Torah during a lifetime. Says Kasha always bothered me. Says the Chassam Sofer, and he doesn't explain it so much in this tshuva. There's another tshuva in Chelik Vav where the Chassam Sofer talks about it more by Riches, and he also discusses this in his Chidushim HaMasechtas Bava Basra Daf Yudal Ramal Alv. So the Chassam Sofer talks about this in a few places. But says the Chassam Sofer, they know what the pshat is. I'm going to tell you a Dovin Naira. He says that, how did Moshe Rabbeinu write 12 Sifrei Torah in one day? How do you write 12 Sifrei Torah in a day? Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu. He wrote up his resource. He was very, very talented. But there's a bigger problem. The problem is Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. And being that Zayin Adar, the year of Petirus, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Shabbos. Shabbos, he's not allowed to write. The Rosh asks the Kasha. And the Rosh says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really write it. He wrote Bashbas Kulmas. He was Mashbia Malach. And the Malach wrote it. It's Nisyachas to Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was Mashpia the Malach. But Moshe Rabbeinu never physically, he couldn't have written it. It was Shabbos Kodesh. And on Shabbos Kodesh, one of Lamatas Malach is Kosev. So you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write it himself. It was all done on Yidei Ashpa. So Freitach Sam Sofer, maybe Rav Ami also did it on Yidei Ashpa's Kormas. Who said Rav Ami sat down with a pen and he wrote it? Maybe Rav Ami had the ability to be Mashpia a Malach. And listen to what the Chassam Sofer says. Ki shemos hakodesh hem peulos amitiyos. He says this idea of using shemos to manipulate things, to create moifsin, it's an emes hazach. And you know what I know, says the Chassam Sofer? Mi mashe ro'isi be'enai. I saw with my own eyes. Me ish moifis moiri koin tzedek zatzal. My Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler. I saw Rav Nosson Adler. From a first tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. It's a rechaim tshuva kuf tzedek zayin. paragraph begins, V'oid rega adabi. I saw with my own eyes. I saw by the Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler, I saw make moifsim with Shemus. So he said, if I saw my Rebbe make moifsim with Shemus, Rav Ami could have done it. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 12 Sifrei Torah with Shemus. So Meich Teis Rav Ami wasn't able to do the same thing. And here's the punchline. Says the Chassam Sofer, you know something? I think maybe that's really what Rav Ami did. And that's the oimik in the Gemara. Because what does the Gemara say? Rav Amnuna said, maybe he wrote Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe. And Rabbeinu Tam was already bothered. Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe, not Torah. Sifrei Torah, Sifrei Torah. So he says, the Gemara, Sukkah, Kotan, Eyadeh, Ladabra, Ovid, Malamdei, Torah, Mayim, Malamdei, Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe. Says the Chassam Sofer, I think it means something else. He says, because if you take the words Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe, the Rosh HaTevis are Tof, Tzadik, Lamed, Men. The Gematria is 560. One of the Shemos HaKodesh also has the Gematria, 560. It's the Shem Kuf Samach Saf. Says the Chassam Sofer, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel. This is Yecheskel Perek Tes. Yecheskel has a Mara HaNavuah. And his Navuah, V'hinei Shisha Anoshim. He sees six people, and these are Malachim. Bon Miderech Shara Elyon. Hashem Mofnet Safoino. V'ish Kli Mapotsoi B'yadei. And they all have their kale, their tools. V'ish Echad B'soicham. One of these malachim was lavush badim. He was wearing linen clothing. The keses has soifer b'masnav. Pasha, what it means is he had the tools that a soifer would use. The keses has soifer b'masnav. Vayavoyu vayamdu etzel mizbach hanachoshes. Says the Heilig Chassam Sofer, says, Ve'in laharuch b'zeh. I can't be marich in this. But I'm going to be megalit to you just a little bit. And the gilui is that there's a malach, that it's possible to be mashpia using the shame, keses has soifer. Kuf, Samach Sof. That's the pnimius of this Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yudalad Amaral. Rav Ami didn't write 400 Sifrei Torah by himself. It's not possible. Rav Ami also didn't write Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe 400 times. That's Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. But says Chassam Sofer, I think the pshat's different. Rav Ami did exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu was Mashpia Malach, and through that 12 Sifrei Torah in one day. Rav Ami did the same exact thing. 400 Sifrei Torah. Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe, where do you see that teretz? Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe, the Rosh HaTevis is Begematria 560. That's the shame of Keses HaSkuf Samach Sof. Mention that malach in Sefer Yecheskel Perek Tes, that's what really happened. That's the, but the bottom line is, there is a concept of Shemus HaKadoshim. There's a concept of Hashba'os. Rav Ami did it. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 12 Sifrei Torah. Chassam Sofer said he saw it by his Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler. So obviously it's something that's okay. But at the same time, the Chassam Sofer Masechtos Chulin, Dav Zayin, Omid Beis says, B'Shem Reis Rid, who says B'Shem Yerushalmi, the Chalanenim and Abriyos, also L'Shamish B'Shem HaKadosh B'Hashba'os. And that's what Rebbe wanted to know. He wanted to know, how did Pinchas Ben Yair do this? Did he do this Al Yedei Hashpah Shemus? Or not? And the way the litmus test was going to be, I'm going to invite him over. If he's willing to come eat by me, that's a raya that he's not doing it through the Hashpahs. He's not doing it with Shemus. It's not one of these Al Koponim. That's the question. So how did he do it? So the Chassam Sofer says very cryptically, Elevatigzer Oimer Vayakim Lach. And the answer to that is really in another Chassam Sofer. And this is a Chassam Sofer in the Drashas, but it's really better known in the name of the Arachayim. This is one of the most famous Arachayim HaKudoshes in Gans Arachayim. So we'll start with the Arachayim and then we'll mention the Chassam Sofer afterwards. And that is, it's on Parshas Beshalach. Vayet Moshe as Yodai al Hayam. Moshe Rabbeinu sticks his hand out at the Yam. Vayoshev Hayam lefnois boiker le'esonoi. And after the Yam had split, it returned, le'esonoi, it started knocking the power, the might of the waves of the Yam, had returned to its glory, to the way it had been. Chazal say, what does le'esonoi mean? Le'tnoi harishai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a t'nai with the Yam, already Mesheshes and Me'ebereshes, that one day it was going to have to split. And the Arachayim HaKadosh goes, and he has an Arichos, what exactly this t'nai was. I'm going to skip to the punchline. Says the Arachayim, that, okay, t'nai zeh hu bichlal ha-t'noim shehisna Hashem al-kol ma'ase bereshes. The t'nai was that when Hashem created the world, he said as follows, that I'm creating you, but at the same time, you're going to be secondary. You're not primary in the world. You're second. What do you mean? The Bria is not primary. The Bria is the context, the backdrop. It's the setting of everything. No. You're actually secondary. The backdrop is the Torah. And here's the punchline. Leo is kfufim la Torah ve'oimlel. Hashem told the Bria that you're going to have to be kafuf to the Torah ve'oimlel. And the people that harav in learning. V'las is kol ashe yigzeru aleim. And anything that one of the oimle Torah are going to instruct you to do, you're going to have to do. U'memshaltam aleim k'memshelas ha'boirei baruch hu. V'lozeh timtza k'moikim ba'shamayim uva'oretz u'ba'koychovim u'ba'shemesh v'yoreach sholtu aleim ha'tzadikim yichidim ve'in tzarech loimem merubim shech kashachokak lehem Hashem be'es ha'briya. This idea that you find that the tzadikim, that they were able to manipulate, they're able to miracle performed. Sometimes unbelievable miracles. Yeshua ben Nun with the son and Akdim ben Gurion. And sometimes smaller miracles, right? Small miracles. But miracles happen because people that are kafuf, that are Omlei Torah, they take precedence over the Bria. And this was the Tanai HaRishon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh that it's for that reason you find Rav Pinchas ben Yair and Masechtas Chulin, and Dav Zayin was able to come, he was able to split the sea. Listen to this kasha. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu also split the sea. But there were major negotiations between Moshe Rabbeinu and the sea. Halalu Oiv Devei Dezor, Halalu Oiv Devei Dezor, Ma Rayom Rav Vayonois, Ma Ra, Aroi Deshal Yosef, 900 Pshatim at the Seder, right? There's so much going on. There's so much Tutzachin and Ta'elu Ve'elu Divrei L'Kinchai Rabbi. Think about how much went on. Major negotiations. Rav Pinchas ben Yair, it was a 3-minute conversation. What did Rav Pinchas say? Listen, it's very simple. You don't want to split, that's fine. I'm letting you, you're never going to have water again. Boom, he split. And that was the end of the whole story. And everybody was able to cross. So how is it that Rav Pinchas ben Yair was able to do this in a much more seamless way than Moshe Rabbeinu? Zokta Rechaim, because Moshe Rabbeinu was before Matan Torah. And being that there was no Torah yet, Mechatesi. So for that already, we needed to pull strings and alolu v'alolu. That's why it wasn't so simple. But Rav Pinchas ben Yair came after the Torah. He was already from the Omlei Torah. Omlei Torah, that's easy. Because t'nai b'chal hatanam shehisna Hashem al kol ma'aseh bereishis liyos kfufim l'Torah vim la'omlea. Unbelievable. Ulazeh, this is the last few lines in the Archaim. Kol tzadik v'tzadik sheyamid achar Kabbalah Satorah. Any tzadik that's going to come after Kabbalah Satorah. Yavei biyadei shtar choyv echad. He has a shtar choyv. The Bria has no choice. It has to listen. L'kufay v'leicholik l'vanah v'nimtza. Shekishloi rotza l'cholik r'pinchas ben Yair l'masavi imay. What did Pinchas ben Yair tell the Yam? You don't want to split. Rotza l'kaintzoi. He was going to give him a knas. U'pachad ayomim menu. And the Yam got scared because he owed it to him. There's a shtar choyv. There was a deal. The deal was done b'tchila sheishes mei bereishes. Either way, it was easier. Yeah, it was easier. It was easier for Pinchas ben Yair to split the sea than it was for Moshe Rabbeinu to split the sea. Why? Not because Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than Pinchas. Not because Pinchas was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he was ready from the Omlei Torah. He came after Kabbalah Satorah. And after Kabbalah Satorah, that's when this deal goes into effect. Meaning, we all know the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Vayera vayibayka yoyim hashishi. Melamed shisan kadosh baruch hu ma'aseh bereishis. Im mekabel ha-satorah mutav b'mav achzer eschem l'soyah v'vayu. We also know Reb Chaim Volozhin has said that it wasn't a one-time tanai. It wasn't just that if the Yidden weren't had not accepted the Torah back in the day, it's an ongoing tonight, that if there's any moment in history where there's Yidden that aren't learned, where there's no Torah being learned in the world, achzer eschem l'soyev avayu. This is the tonight, but the tonight goes much deeper than that. The tonight is that the Bria is toloi in Torah, but not just that, on a micro level, it's not just a big picture theme. On a micro level, the Omlei Torah have an ability to manipulate the Bria. It's based on this idea that the Bria is kafuf lo Omlei Torah. Chassam Sofer says this in a drasha. It's printed in the Oiris Chassam Sofer, right in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. We know the Torah begins Bereishis bara likim es hashamayim ves haaretz. Bereishis bishvil haTorah shenik Bereishis bishvil Yisrael shenik Bereishis. How does the Torah end? Last pasuk in the Torah. L'chol ha'oseis v'hamoifsim asher shlochi Hashem lasseis beretz Mitzrayim l'faru l'chol avadu. It begins Bereishis Bara Lekim Hashemayim V'Saaretz, and it ends with the Oisis and the Moifsim. So as the Chassam Sofer, the Psicha of the Torah and the Chassim of the Torah, it's all one idea. You want to know why it was possible for there to be Oisis and Moifsim? It's Bishvila Yisrael Shenik Bereishis, Bishvila Torah Shenik Bereishis. Because at the end of the day, the Bria is Kaf of La'im Le'Torah, and being that there's a Torah, being that the purpose of the Bria is the Torah, so the way the Bria plays itself out is if Klal Yisrael needs time, if Pinchas ben Yair needs to cross the sea is going to have no choice but to split for him, because Bereishis Bara Likim, Bishvil Yisrael Shenik Bereishis, Bishvil HaTorah Shenik Bereishis, that's the Hemshech Ulechol Hayada Chazaka Ulechol HaMoira Agadol. Chassam Sofer, in another place, talks about how you find Tzadikim were called Isha Likim. Why? What's that Nusach? He's an Isha Likim. What does Isha Likim mean? Isha is a husband. A husband is a master, right? We're mad. The tzaddikim were masters over the tzaddikim were masters over HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a degree. They can manipulate the Bria. Oh, what did the Nar say? I'm working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very nice to work. Hashem told you to do this. But I'm the boss. At the end of the day, you're kafuf to me. I'm the Ish. Isha Likim. It's a Heluk Chassam Sofer. It's about 4 or 5 Chassam Sofers we just spoke out. But either way, that's what the Chassam Sofer means over here in Masechtas Chulin. He means that there are 2 ways that Moifsim can get done. Either it's through Shemois or Hashbois. Shemois and Hashbois. Like the Chassam Sofer says, Moshe Rabbeinu did
But Shas Ptirasa, Yud Beis Sifrei Torah, Rav Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. He said he saw it by his Rebbe, Rav Nassan Adler. And Rebbe thought that that's presumably what Pinchas Ben Yair was doing. But he had a litmus test. He had a way to know, because for that there's a condition. Kol Anenim and Abriyos, Asa L'Shamish B'Shem HaKodesh, U'Bash Bois. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was willing to eat by Rebbe, Vaistois. Rebbe thought that that must be, that's checkmate, that it's not Hashem. So what's the other option? The other option is Vatigzer Omer Vayakum Loch. Tzadik Goyzer Vakadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. That's the makar to that. Vatigzer Omer. A tzadik makes a gzera and everything. What do you mean? How does a tzadik manipulate the Bria? It's because of this idea. It's because the Bria is kaf of Loim Leitaira. It's Vayashav Ayom Lifnei Spiker Leisonei. That was the Tanaya Rishon. That's the smichos between the beginning of the Torah. Bereshis Baruch Lekim Mishvil Yisrael Mishvil HaTorah Shnikereshis and the Oisois and the Moifsin that I mentioned in the end, the Parshas Vazois HaBracha.